when I started doing my lessons with my coach, he pointed out to me that a lot of the things I was doing were very wrong, but
technically
wrong. But I had very good timing. That was maybe the one thing he said was good. So what he did, I didn't know he was doing this. He broke it down into parts.
Yep.
And so he would teach me like one aspect
one
of fencing.
One section of it. Yeah.
And then he'd send me to a competition and I'd fence and...
Work on that one aspect.
Yeah. So I'd focus on that one thing. And then
get that right in a competition and then move to the next section?
Yeah. So it's like trial and error type thing. And then if I wasn't getting something the way he taught it, he would change it and then I'd get it that way. So I had to learn very quickly as well because he wanted it to get it all done like 6 months. That didn't happen.
And how long, I have my own experience in this, but how long did it take for you to master the change in that one section of a skill?
Sometimes it would only take me maybe a week, but sometimes it took me up to a month or 2 months.
Yeah.
It all depended on what he was teaching me. And
how complicated it was.
So if it's something like... I know sometimes it wasn't even a problem with I couldn't focus on it. Sometimes it was the fact that I wasn't physically able to do it, and then you would have to focus on getting
the strength and conditioning component. So what sort of strength and conditioning are you required to do?
You have to do physical, but you also have to do mental as well.
So what does that look like? So let's talk about the physical. So is that in the gym?
Yes, actually. So I used to do CrossFit on Monday. He told me to go to CrossFit and have this 1 hour session with this guy. And I did that for maybe 2-3 years. I had to stop it because it started interfering with my school life.
Yeah.
But I still keep doing that physical exercise, even though I'm not there in the gym. And then he also started doing these things called fitness circles, where he'd set up maybe 6 or 7 exercises in a circle and me and a group of people would do them for maybe an hour just straight. And that was really good. He focused very much on getting our legs strong, getting our core strong, because we already did like some very basic stuff, but he wanted to get us very strong.
Yep.
And he often would come to my house or come to my mum's clinic, or we would meet up at his house, or like some of the other fencers would come over and we'd do like exercise there on the days where we didn't have the club available to us, which was good. And I also started doing running by myself in the field.
Did you choose to do that as an extra, or did he give you as a training program, was that required, or you just felt like you just needed like, something extra?
Yeah, I felt like I needed something extra. He didn't even know I was doing that till like about a year after I started doing that.
Did he note that you'd become cardiovascularly more fit?
Yeah, he noted that. He was like, oh, your endurance has gotten better. He had no idea I was doing running outside. Yeah. And then he found out and he was like, oh, that explains a lot.
Yeah,
and I was like,
okay. Oh. So when you then go to a competition, you know, starting at a competition, you started in club competition in Melbourne?
So my first competition was a school's competition.
Oh, I remember, and year 5. Was that year 5?
Yeah, it was. I was very young. And I made it out of the first round. So I beat my first direct elimination, and then I lost right after. I was so upset because I was still very young, and I couldn't quite comprehend like why I was losing.
Yeah.
This is before he even came in.
Yeah.
So I had no idea how to cope with it. And then I had my second one, where it was my first state comp, and I came one before the last. And I was so upset. I maybe cried for like 2 hours. I was like inconsolable.
Can I ask you a question though? When you go from in year 5 or your first state competition where you didn't achieve what you thought was you were meant to achieve, but now you've, you know, that we're probably talking 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Can you now see that that was part of your learning?
Yeah, definitely. I learned a lot in my first year about being mentally prepared for competitions. I had to learn the hard way that I wasn't always going to get the results I wanted.
Yeah.
And I had to learn that there were always going to be people better than me. And I had to learn I was never going to be at my best, I had to just keep training.
But never being at your best actually means that you've always got somewhere to go to improve.
Yeah.
And that just means that that's optimistic.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that, you know, I like to look at things as a glass half full rather than, well, I'm in the bottom half and I'm never going to get to the top half. Like the glass half full really means that, well, this is where I'm at and there are people here. And you're 15?
Yeah.
And you're probably competing against people who are how old?
A lot of them are like in their 30s.
Yeah. And I, you know, having done quite a lot in sport, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And you can't know what you don't know until you've experienced it.
Yeah.
And that layer after layer after layer after layer of progress and the same repeat feedback, competition. What did I say? Learning, feedback, success.
Yeah.
Okay, right, what's the next step? Learning, feedback, success. And over a really long period of time, if you're willing to hold it out, you get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where those 30-year-olds are still gaining success. They're still doing the same feedback loop. Learning, feedback, success.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are stages where there's not success.
I've been so many stages where there's no success. And I've had to go back and figure out, okay, where did I go wrong? Like, what do I have to do? What do I have to focus on?
And what sort of support network have you had for you to do that? Because on your own, as an individual sports person, that's actually really challenging and really strengthening. What sort of support? And I know you've got your parents and you've got Harry. Who else have you accessed to help you with that support?
Well, I've got the head coach of Australia as well. His name's Antonio. And I've got quite a few of the managers as well who are like very nice to me, and then I've also got my friends at the club. I've had to deal with sometimes people don't want to be a friend all the time, and then like when that happens I kind of fall back to the people at my fencing club. I have this one very close friend there who's part of my support network, and we're always at the peace for each other. So he always supports me and I always support him, and like we very much know if the other person's gonna cry or if the other person's like having like a problem. And we tend to know how to fix it. Like that's very good.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we stand in for each other if Harry can't be there.
Yep.
And then I've also got like some of the younger fencers as well. Not younger, like 7, but like 13, 12.
Yep.
Who are also part of my support network.
Yeah.
And then I also have my friends at school.
Yeah.
Like, they don't understand fencing all the time, but they're kind of like, oh, what's that? You lost. That's okay. Come on. We'll sit down. Let's focus. Yeah. Like, this is what you missed in school. Stuff like that.
They might not know fencing inside out, but they know you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, like, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Especially, like, last year I went through this whole dramatic 6-month thing where a lot of people were not happy with my success in fencing. And I very much fell back to
because my you were achieving.
I was achieving because last year I won my first Open, and so many people were happy for me. But a lot of them were not happy that I had won it, and that I was getting these good results, and they weren't. So I
struggled
a lot. But
that's a tall poppy syndrome, isn't it? You know, it takes, I guess, that mental toughness and resilience.
Yeah.
For you to come back to, but I've done this. There's still more than I can achieve.
Yeah.
And I guess sometimes they get a little bit disappointed that they haven't done that.
Yeah.
And for you, that's just hard work.
And I've just had to, it's all like the struggles with friendship as well and my support system. Like, I know I had a lot of fencing friends in my support system, and that was last year. And it all kind of collapsed when they started not wanting to be my friend because of my success. Because they wanted to all get to the same place together, but I was getting there ahead of them.
Yeah.
And they didn't really like that much. Yeah. So it kind of strengthened me in, like, be careful who your friends are. Have friends, but don't have
rely
them as part of...
Rely on them.
Yeah.
Well, you can rely on them.
You can rely on them, but, like...
Within the same sport...
Especially,
you're competitors as well, aren't you?
And
they're kind of trying
difficult.
To protect themselves.
Like, there's some girls, like, who focus on separating friends from on the piste and off the piste. It's, like, I have from my first competition when I was 9, I fenced this New Zealander girl, and I beat her, and she was also very upset. I remember she was crying. I'm still very close friends with her, and she actually won the under-15s against me, and I was still very happy for her. So we both worked on separating our friendship from on the piste and off the piste, and that's how we've been able to be friends for maybe 6 years.
Yeah.
And so that's something I've had to learn as well,
yeah,
how to separate my friendships.
Mayuri, what's the end goal?
I want to get to the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. But then when you get there, what do you want to do?
I want to go again. I already know, if I get there, I always want to go again.
Yeah.
That's been a big thing for me.
Within the Olympics, what do you set out to achieve?
Like everyone, I want to win the Olympics, yeah, but I know it's not going to happen my first time. Especially since I'm from Australia, I don't get much international experience. I have to fly like halfway across the world. But I really want to go there and say, I've been there and I've got this result. How can I do better next time? Yeah.
And it takes time to build on those experiences and skills, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know, but no, you
that's
can,
what my coach is for.
You can piece all those bits together through experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of experience is needed. Like, for me, I wanted to get to the Olympics for 2020, and I was rushing to get all this stuff done, and I was rushing to go international and everything, and I was stressed about everything. And then I took a step back, and I was like, it doesn't matter if I get to it next year. I can say I've been to these competitions and I've done this. How can I improve for next year?
They're all still part of that learning journey, yeah, that'll get you there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be in a hurry. It needs to be in the time that your body's ready.
Like, I might not be able to get to it next year, but maybe I can try again for 2024. Maybe I can try again later. I've still got so much time and I need to... Because I remember I was trying to rush everything and just go to all these competitions. And I was fencing so much and training so much.
But you don't want to burn yourself out either.
Yeah, so that was a problem I had.
Yeah.
Because, it also mentally exhausts you.
Yeah.
Because every competition you do, it doesn't even matter what result you get, you always come back mentally exhausted and you just want to collapse every time. I can't think of one competition I've been to where I haven't been ready to, pass out.
Really?
Yeah.
Afterwards?
Yeah, it's exhausting because it's physically exhausting, but you also mentally have to go, you have to say, keep going, because direct eliminations can last up to 45 minutes where you're just going and going at the other person. You have to win or you're going to be out of the competition. It's very taxing, especially if you're fencing. Australia's such a small, area compared to other countries.
Yeah.
So you run into the same people a lot. And they tend to be your friends as well, or people you know. So you gotta it's mentally taxing, especially if you do end up beating them and you see them cry. You don't want to see your friend cry. And so mentally you have to be very strong. And that's something I had to learn a lot.
Yeah. Mayuri, thank you.